Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
This is Free Talk Live. Welcome to the program. You're invited if you want to join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. You can bring up anything that is on your mind and take control of the airwaves. Here tonight is Ian,
Bonnie,
and Aria.
All right, so on the way here tonight, we're going to talk about the Alec Baldwin thing. I know some people have been upset that we haven't discussed that in any kind of detail, but apparently, Aria, you do want to get into that story. So
I do, because my take on it is so different from what I'm seeing from other libertarians.
Yeah, I'm curious to what you're seeing. I mean, I've seen a bunch of memes about it, but that's about it so far.
And the memes have been good.
Pretty funny.
Didn't he date his daughter? Isn't that worse than I've
No, that was Woody
someone?
Harrelson, right?
I don't know anything about any of that.
Never mind.
Or Woody Allen?
Woody Allen, was that
Yeah,
his
I mixed those people together. It was technically his, not his daughter,
his
it was
his
like ex-wife's daughter, so like she was his daughter for a while.
I see.
And
not
then
his
they broke
blood,
up.
Not his blood daughter.
Exactly.
Okay. So again, the number 603-283-6160. Also, Bonnie, you've got a story about Americans preferring smaller government, which sounds like a study or something like that. We can talk about that coming up here. But the story I wanted to lead out with here tonight is coming out of Toronto. We've definitely covered all kinds of disturbing news coming from various different parts of the world with this whole COVID crackdown. It was on the weekend on our Saturday show that I read not even the entirety of a series of posts from a guy in Lithuania just describing how Lithuania is the most, or at least in his opinion, the most segregated of societies regarding COVID. Everything except for the smallest of, like, local shops, is completely restricted to only vaccinated people. There's vaccine passports that are mandatory. You have to show ID to get into every single store with a vaccine passport. And
it's insane.
It is absolutely insane. We didn't even get through the whole series of posts.
You can't even order takeout. Like, they won't deliver to your house unless you're vaccinated.
How are they supposed to get
that right?
Food?
Yeah, you were saying that
in
on
Lithuania?
The show.
Okay, I don't remember. I don't remember that part of the story, but
you guys were saying, "Wow, that's crazy!" Because like during COVID, at least you could like order Uber or something. Like you can't do that in Lithuania unless you're vaccinated.
So, according to the other part of the world here, Canada, which is also one of the most restrictive places, at least in North America, as far as COVID restrictions is concerned, there's CTV News, which is, of course, the government. I believe that is the government news there, if I recall correctly. But CTV News Toronto, students told not to speak during lunch to reduce the spread of COVID-19. And then in this story, they have a photograph of this dystopian image. I mean, government schools were already institutionalized when we went there.
Yeah, they were identical to prisons, except back then, they didn't have barbed wire or razor wire fences around them. Some of them actually
they
do
have
now.
Now. Yeah, a lot of them do.
When I was in high school, something Ian was like, whoa, it wasn't like that when I was in high school. Or wait, no, maybe it was my dad that I was talking to recently, and he said that. Anyways, you always had to have an ID on you, like on a necklace, facing forward. And if you didn't, there was all the vice principals stood in like the hallways, like just checking like you. Cops, like during the bell 4 minutes to get to your next class. And if you weren't wearing it, you got pulled to the side. You had to sit there, miss parts of your class, getting written up and all this stuff. Like if you're like, oh, I just don't have it, I left it. Then you had to like, I don't know, had a temporary one or something. I remember it happened to me a couple times. But yeah, you like miss parts of your class because you're not wearing your identification on
you. Was there
you.
RFID in that badge?
No.
You know? Because that's also a thing now. That's maybe it's a little bit newer than when you were in school, but or maybe they just didn't buy the system for your school. They're still testing them or whatever. But they would have these badges that you're talking about, but they'd have RFID in them, and that means that scanners would be able to pick up your location as you're going
around.
So
when you walked into a classroom, it would automatically scan you in as being present. Wow.
Yeah. Creepy. Mine did have. We all had numbers. Like you had your badge number.
Student number.
It would be so much easier to just take one of these RFID chips and just, like, implant it under the student's skin or something.
Oh, I'm sure they've been thinking about that, too. They, you know, they have to take baby steps to get there, and that's certainly something they're working towards. But now in this photograph of what is a St. Barnabas Catholic school in Toronto, there's children sitting in class, of course, all wearing masks, and this is clearly an elementary age class. They've got the plexiglass, like, three-sided barriers on their desks. So there's the side of the desk that they sit at.
I thought that was just a South Park joke.
No.
Classrooms are actually doing that?
No, it's real. Yeah, every single desk has this on it.
I love how they're doing everything they can to destroy the myth that kids need public school because of, you know, socialization.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Now they can't even speak at lunch. Parents of the school children in Toronto are expressing concern after their children were asked, they're not being asked, not to speak during lunch in an effort to curb transmission of COVID-19. Teresa Ostrom told CTV News Toronto that her child, who attends a public school in Scarborough, has been asked not to speak during the period in which they are unmasked and eating lunch. While the health and safety measure is meant to minimize aerosol transmission of the virus, some parents are concerned that the time usually meant for socialization is being replaced with screen time.
Isn't it just meant for eating and, like, people are just normal? And socialization happened.
Yeah,
it's not meant for socialization.
Now, silence. Now, I remember when I was in elementary school, they did have a thing where if they turned off the lights,
me too,
the entire room was supposed to go silent.
In the classroom, yes.
Well, this
happened
is also
to me
in the lunchroom.
Yeah. And it wasn't just random. It was like, you guys are getting too loud. Then the people patrolling couldn't calm us down or whatever. Then the lights went off. Everybody had to be silent.
So this is just the next step of that. Now it's just, you just can't talk at all. As soon as you enter the room, you can't talk, and I'm sure that you're not allowed to talk in the hallways. Because if you can't talk at lunch, why would they let you talk in the hallways or during the class?
In the hallway, they're still wearing their masks, right?
They're still wearing them during lunch, I guess, until they sit down at the table would be my guess.
And that's why they can't talk to one another, because they have their masks down, because obviously they're eating.
Right, that's the
argument the school is making.
Mm-hmm.
Lunch was the only time at school that I wasn't absolutely miserable and wanting to be anywhere else.
Sure.
Taking this away from kids is not a good, it's not going to help them.
It's horrible.
In their development into healthy adults.
She says she didn't find out about the policy until she had a chance to meet her child's teacher face to face. She said, my kid never mentioned it, so I was actually shocked. We were told that the kids were not permitted to speak while eating lunch because they removed their masks to eat. She says she feels so sad for the kids. They've missed out on so much, and especially so much unstructured socialization, which is what chatting with friends during lunch is. So it just seemed like one more thing taken away from them.
If she feels so sorry for her kids, why is she not
taking them out of the government schools? Yeah, I don't know how easy that is to do in Canada. Is homeschooling an option there? You know, is it heavily regulated? That's it.
Good question.
I don't have the answer to. If you're in Canada or the whatever is Toronto, is that Ontario province, I think. If you're in Ontario province and you want to weigh in on that, you're welcome to join us here at 603-283-6160. The Toronto School Board spokesbureaucrat Ryan Bird told CTV News that, quote, based on the advice of Toronto Public Health, we have required lunches to be brief and quiet.
So they shortened lunch as well?
Apparently. Uh-huh. Apparently,
so there's literally no reason for kids to want to be at school anymore.
He says this guidance has been in place since September of 2020. So this has been like this for over a year, and this mom just found out.
And the fact that her kid didn't say anything about it to me is so weird. Like, I would be complaining about that to my mom. He must hate her and just, you know, not talk to her.
Or that's just how obedient these kids have been trained to be. Like, it's just so normal to them that they just didn't even think to tell their parents until now.
I think it's more likely that they just almost never see their parents because they're just at home playing video games or watching television or something, and their parents are just, you know, doing whatever it is parents do when they don't spend time with their children.
So, let's see what else. Another TDSB parent said her child, who's currently in third grade at a different school, is often made to watch a movie during lunchtime, so the kids aren't moving around and talking while eating. School board teacher asked not to be identified told CTV Toronto that they, quote, often play a short educational TV show or learning video while kids eat their lunches. They don't feel hindered, and they know that we try not to talk when our masks are off, for respect and safety of everyone. But what turned me on to this particular story is the post of an actual parent who was asked, is this true? And then spoke about the experience with the person that sits in the lunchroom or stands in the lunchroom called the lunch monitor. And we'll tell you what those experiences are like coming up here in moments. This is Free Talk Live.
Folks, looks like food shortages are here and gonna stick around. Supply chains are breaking down, and inflation is back with a vengeance. It's all part of the shortage economy. What used to be unthinkable is now in the headlines. Are you ready? Do you currently have a stockpile of emergency food at home? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com today, and you'll find an emergency food kit that's right for you and your family. My Patriot Supply is the largest preparedness company in America, serving millions of families like yours. Pick up a 3-month food kit that stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. The meals in the kit provide over 2,000 delicious calories a day. That's important when you need to survive. Order from MyPatriotSupply.com and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait for permission or more empty store shelves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Yeah. It's Free Talk Live, and of course, you can bring up whatever's on your mind. The number 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. We're talking about the rules in Toronto schools, which appear to also apply perhaps to private schools. But at the very least, certainly in...
Then they're not private, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, any school that is obeying government mandates is not truly private. But what we're talking about here is the mandate that students are no longer allowed to speak. And this isn't new. Apparently, this went into effect in September of 2020. They're not allowed to speak during lunch.
I'm amazed that their parents could possibly not have heard about this, because that would have been my very first complaint when I got home that day.
No doubt. Well, maybe it's just this one parent that heard about it, and somehow she got in touch with this Toronto news department or whatever, and now the news is coming out. It's possible other parents heard about it, but it just never hit the news.
True.
And this one is actually being reported on. But the reason I found this story is because of a parent... who was asked, somebody said, sent a question to this parent on Twitter. The parent is Julian, at JulianLewis2012 is their username. And the person was asked, is this true? And then the link to the story in the news. And we'll tell you what this parent has to say about the kids that they have in fourth grade in Toronto and the experience that they've had with the lunch monitor. That is coming up, but also want to let you know about Bitcoin.com, because if you're interested in learning about cryptocurrency like Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash, get over to Bitcoin.com. You can start the process there by clicking Get Started at the top of the page, and then you'll find some videos, very informative. You can watch at the very least the first one, and that'll take you all of about 3 minutes of your time, and you will learn the basics and why cryptocurrency like Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash is so important, and why it is that it's just taken off in such an amazing way in the last 13 years.
Yeah, and in the last month, it's up like 46-47%, something like that.
It's pretty crazy. Yes.
Is it still high up? I haven't checked recently.
I think it's been over 60 today. Yeah, I think it's it dipped below 60, I believe, yesterday for a short time, and now it's just below $63,000. Per Bitcoin. So go to Bitcoin.com, learn the basics there. Or if you need the latest news headlines, they've got those too over at news.bitcoin.com. So from JulianLewis2012 on Twitter, he says, my son is 9 years old and in grade 4 here in Toronto, and yes, he is told not to speak during lunch, but it's more frightening than that for him and his classmates. As though that weren't bad enough, right? Now you got to deal with whatever power freak bureaucrat is tasked with enforcing this rule.
Which is every bureaucrat. Mm-hmm. That's why they become bureaucrats.
For the most part, that is true. The kids' silent lunches are just the tip of the iceberg for their experience with the lunch monitor. And this is one of these multi-thread posts here, so he continues. Last month, our son broke down in tears at dinner, asking what a fourth wave was. When I asked why, he said the lunch monitor was yelling at kids at recess that we were in a fourth wave and that kids were going to create another lockdown if they got too close to each other.
What a psychopath!
Yeah.
So they're not allowed... Hold on. Do they have to wear masks when they're out on the playground? Because that's outdoors, right?
I believe he addresses that coming up here.
Doesn't matter if you're in Australia.
He says, I complained to the principal and said this was entirely not age-appropriate. The principal said she would make sure he didn't use threats like these. But recently, my son and his friends have been telling me what this guy is still doing. Talking during lunch means detention. Getting out of your chair during lunch, for example, to throw something in the garbage, also means detention. When a kid physically contacts another kid at recess, even to brush sleeves, that's detention.
Detention.
Mm-hmm. For no touching. This is outdoors, mind you, he says. Detention these days means you sit with your back to the outside wall of the school, hugging your knees, 6 feet apart in either direction from the other kids in detention.
So
outdoors.
They're outside?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it cold?
It's probably cold there right now, yeah, and this was written on October 24th, so yesterday.
And that's better for your health than touching the sleeve of another kid?
If you approach a kid in detention to commiserate, that is grounds for your own detention. By the way, they do this in jail. Now, I've never been to prison. Our co-host, Mark Edge, of course, spent 8 or 9 years in prison, and he will tell you that there was a lot of similarities to school. But in this particular case, when I was in jail for civil disobedience a decade ago here in Keene, I was in a cell block area where I was allowed out in population at the time. Nowadays, they keep me in 23 hours a day because I won't wear a mask due to a medical exemption. But at the
time, jails don't have that policy here in New Hampshire?
Unless the CDC changes its policy, the jails will not change their policy.
Okay.
So I don't expect to see that change at any point.
I mean, the jails also have no motivation to because they don't care about
it. No, they love to tell you what to do. So this is just another thing that they get to tell you. But the point I wanted to make was that I was in this, you know, pod or whatever, this cell block area, and I was able to leave my cell to go into population and, you know, play cards or whatever with the other guys that were out there. You could walk around, right? That's a common thing that happens in jail because you need to get some sort of exercise. So when you're out in the day pod, it's a larger area than your cell. Obviously, you can walk around your cell, but you're constantly turning around. Here, you can, you know, walk around the whole day pod and get a nice little lap in. And so I'm walking around, and they had somebody in what are called the monitoring cells. So when you got in trouble or you're suicidal or something like that, they would put you in one of these, especially the suicidal ones. They would get put in these monitoring cells. So they had this guy in a monitoring cell, and he was, like, beckoning me. He wanted me to come over and talk to him. And I kind of went over on one of my laps by and said something to him. And one of the more petty guards started bellowing at me. He was yelling, like, you've got to get away from that door, blah, blah, blah. You know, you're going to be locked down.
So because talking to him and being nice to him is going to make him more suicidal than, like, 24 hours a day not talking to people.
The rule is he's not technically part of the block. Because he's there on suicide watch. So you're not allowed to talk to him. Yeah.
So you can only talk to people on your block?
That's correct.
Okay.
So same thing. If you're not in detention, you know, you're not allowed to talk to the kids in detention.
Can the kids in detention talk to each other?
Probably not.
Probably, yeah. I would assume not.
I would love for someone to defend this absurdity, says the poster here, on the basis of health when kids are terrified. He says also, Toronto has had fewer than 50 cases per day. Just cases, mind you. On the last 2 days in a city of 2.73 million people.
Wow, that's a huge city.
So you've got this, you know, some psycho bureaucrat yelling at fourth grade kids and younger, you know, about how they have to stay quiet and they can't get up from their seat.
He failed as a prison guard, didn't he?
Yeah, he can't get up from your seat. I presume that means the only time you can throw away your tray, you know, the trash on your tray is at the very end of lunch. So you go in, you get your tray, you sit quietly, you eat, and then when you leave, you can deposit the tray in the requisite place.
I don't know why it is, but it just seems like people who choose to work with kids are only people who hate kids.
Either that or they're the ones who like them too much.
Yeah.
If you know
that's worse than, you know, mealtime in jails, really. At least in jail, you can still talk.
It makes me wonder what the jail policies are there in Toronto as well. Like,
fair
it
point.
May be as bad there, but that is a good, you know, generally a good point. But the saddest part about this thread is the parents' addendum. And I'll share that with you coming up here in a moment, because it's bad so far. I mean, this is terrible, what they're doing to these kids.
Torturing them.
Yeah. I mean, as though it weren't bad enough that you're stealing their faces from them and their ability to experience humans and their expressiveness, their nonverbal communications, which is so important, such an important part of communicating with other people. That's bad enough.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, silverlungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg. At least five people and a police officer are hurt after a shooting at a Boise, Idaho mall. Police saying it happened at the Boise Town Square Mall this afternoon, and a local TV station reporting witnesses said that a man started shooting at people riding an escalator. Police tweeting one person has been taken into custody. President Biden is pushing moderate and progressive Democrats to come to an agreement to pass a key part of his Build Back Better agenda. The $1.2 trillion bipartisan infrastructure bill, and a larger budget package. New York Republican Congresswoman Nicole Meliotakis is calling for a vote on the bipartisan infrastructure bill alone.
I wish they would just focus on the bipartisan infrastructure bill. I think that is something that you would get a lot of Republican support for if it came up separately.
USA Radio News. A caravan of nearly 3,000 migrants is marching north in Mexico and heading for the United States. Most of the group is from Central and South America, and they broke a barricade that was set by Mexican police last weekend. This has Texas gearing up for another wave of migrants at their section of the border. Texas Governor Greg Abbott tells Fox News he's upset with President Biden's absence.
We've seen presidents time after time go to locations of crises and disasters. This happens to be a crisis and a disaster created by Joe Biden himself. You would think he'd want to go down and see the consequences of his disaster. Go see what he caused.
Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer opening the Senate on Monday, saying he believes Democrats are nearing the end of negotiations on a sweeping social spending bill. So far, Democrats have been unable to agree on a price tag. USA Radio News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want here. The number is 603-283-6160. How bad is it if you still have your kids in government school? How bad is it there? You want to tell your story? You're welcome to join us here, although, you know, if you actually care about your kids, you should ought to, you know, you really ought to figure out a way to get them the hell out of there. I understand that it's, you know, a pain in the butt to figure out alternatives to...
Well, get your state to do what New Hampshire did, which was take that money that they would otherwise spend on the public education for your kid and give it to you directly so you can choose how to educate your child.
Or if you're a liberty-minded person, just migrate to New Hampshire, and then you'll actually have a large homeschooling, you know, group that you can connect with. Because that's always the big excuse, and you touched on this earlier, Aria, is that whenever you bring up getting kids out of government school with somebody who supports them, they say, oh, well, it's all about socialization. Well, now you can't even talk at lunchtime.
I was homeschooled kindergarten to third grade, and once I got into third grade, everybody was always commenting that I was such a social butterfly. Like, everybody was always saying that about me, like my teacher, my parents.
Meaning that you liked to socialize, that you weren't?
Just that I was, like, friends with everybody. I was just, like, really social as a third grader. I was, you know, just out of, apparently, non-socialization land, and I was more social than the other kids.
But did your parents ever take you to, like, a homeschool event
or
field trip or
my
something?
Mom does not like making friends with other people, but I was always at church, and then I always had siblings.
So you had opportunities.
And, like, played outside with people on the street.
And that's the thing. The homeschoolers understand that socializing is important, so they make a point.
They seem to understand it better than non-homeschoolers understand.
They make a point to to do that, to give their kids opportunities for that. So what we're talking about here, and I just want to wrap this up with the addendum, because this is honestly the saddest part about this, is this dad has been posting about his son who is in fourth grade at a Toronto elementary school. He's being, apparently he has not been allowed to speak at lunch for more than a year. And they and he's saying this is true. You know, this is what the news media is reporting is true. They're not allowed to speak at lunch. They get detention if they get up from the lunch table to throw something away in the garbage. If he touches another kid at recess, he gets detention there. They're, the hall monitor or the lunch monitor is incredibly tyrannical. But the worst part is this. He says, to those suggesting we pull my son out of school, that is the very last thing we will do. He has already gone through too much time away from friends and on screens. Instead, I'll advocate for his class, but absolutely no way are we pulling him out.
You could just pull him out and then invite his friends over to your house to socialize with him, to hang out with him, because he's not getting that at school.
Yeah, how is he even getting socialization or time with his friends at school? It doesn't sound like it.
I don't understand why this person would post. I mean, it's just the absurdity of that position of, oh, it's so bad. It's so bad. Look how bad it is. But no, no, we must stay. We must stay and fight. We must go down to the school board meetings and we must argue our case and try and spend hours and hours, thousands of hours of our lives to lobby these senseless bureaucrats into some semblance of sanity again. I mean, why?
Exactly. You're making the same point I'm thinking of. It's just like every other person who thinks you can reform the system instead of realizing the system is the problem.
Yeah, and it's as simple as getting out. And it sounds like it might be an option for him, right? Like he's saying he's not going to do that. So in theory, he should be able to do that.
I think it just speaks to how literally insane this person is. He spends all this time describing how bad this situation is and then says, I'm not going to. He's been through enough.
Right.
So I'm going to leave him in this bad
torture
situation.
Camp. Let's leave the kid in the torture camp because at least then he's with his friends.
Yes, but he's been through enough, so let's leave him in the torture camp.
I mean, how bad does it actually have to be? If they started waterboarding this kid,
at least he'd be with his friends.
Right, would the dad be like, well, you know, at least he's in the same room being tortured with his friends. I mean, we wouldn't want to have him sitting here at home by himself. That's so much worse. I mean, really, at what line does it have to cross before this guy is willing to pull his kid out of these schools? Because to me, like, that line was 20 years ago.
It was definitely at the point where the guy was yelling at the kid saying, you're causing the fourth wave.
Yeah, the kid came home terrified.
Right, the kid was afraid that they were going to, by speaking at lunch, that they were going to cause the next wave of COVID and create a lockdown. That it would be their fault. Is what they were told by the lunch monitor, that the lockdowns that would be coming would be because they spoke at lunch.
Kids who don't have COVID most likely and aren't at risk talking to each other.
And this dad wants to keep his kid in this school. To me, that's the most tragic aspect of this.
It is. It's insanity.
You need to ask yourself this, parents. What is it that your kids aren't telling you about? If you're still sending your kids to these government schools, what are you missing? What policies are being enforced with you have no knowledge of? You have no idea.
And if they're anything like most parents, you ask your kid how their day was at school, and they just go, fine. And that's it.
I've done that.
Yeah, I did that all the time growing up. Never gave a real answer.
And the real answer was, sucked.
Yeah, absolutely horrible. I would rather be doing anything else with my time.
Right. I did the same thing, and I think about this. I've been thinking about my elementary school experience a lot recently because some things have just been, like, popping up in my mind without me even meaning to remember them. But anyways, like, I think that most kids just get home, they just forget about their day because, like, it's over, and I get to climb my trees. Like, that's what I would do. I would go home and be like, throw my backpack on the floor and go outside and climb trees, and I just wasn't even thinking about everything that happened to me. So if my parents were like, what happened? I would just be like,
well, you didn't remember.
Yeah, literally, you don't remember. You don't remember
blocking it out.
The teachers, like, sitting there, I'll wait, and then they, you know, make you not talk for 10 minutes, and so
or
annoying.
Or punishing an entire class for
what
one
they
person
do.
Does.
Yeah, you don't really remember that. It's like you suddenly forget because it's so normal.
But it's also, like, traumatic, right? Like, that's why you put it out of your mind. You don't want, that's not something that's worth remembering. Why would you want to you know, engage in playing that back over and over again, or storing it.
Yeah, I don't remember much from school anyway, but my father was definitely never the type to be like, how was your day at school? So I wouldn't have, and even if he had, I wouldn't have given an honest answer. School sucked.
It would be so, you would think that it was so normal because to kids, teachers are just like a given. Like, you wouldn't be like, the teachers are doing this to me. You would be like, that's what teachers do. Why would I mention it? Like, kind of without even thinking about it.
Yeah, it's sick. So, I mean, that's the end of that story. I just thought it was just absolutely sad.
And I mean, look, this father is as sick as the administration that he's criticizing.
Like, he can see the things that are wrong, but he's not willing to do anything about it. I mean, how?
Well, he wants to write a letter to the school board or something.
I'm sorry, that doesn't count as doing something. It's like these libertarians on Twitter over the last few days. This guy who's like a libertarian podcaster, his name's Reed Coverdale. He's like a trucker and he does a podcast. He got banned off of Twitter. And, you know, he had, I don't know, 20,000 plus followers, maybe more than that. You know, he built a big following there and poof,
gone.
It's gone. Yep. Now, maybe they'll let him back. Maybe they won't. I don't know. It says suspended on his account. But all these libertarians are, like, writing posts, tagging Twitter support, and begging for Twitter to let this guy off of his ban. And it's just like, guys, spend your time building the alternatives.
Or just join one of the alternatives that already exists.
Yeah. Well, we've got one. It's social.freetalklive.com. We followed in the footsteps of Liberdon, of course, the first libertarian Mastodon server. These alternatives do exist. And if you don't like them, you can launch your own. Mastodon is a decentralized, federated system that is open source and self-hosted. And it works very, very well. It basically completely apes what Twitter does, except without Twitter. Without having some sort of big tech platform hanging an axe over your head and threatening to destroy everything that you've created. Because they're not your followers. They're Twitter's followers. And they will take them away from you if they feel like it.
Yeah, it happens with YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and happens with all of these places all of the time. And there are decentralized alternatives where you don't have to risk losing your entire livelihood for some of these people at the whims of Jack Dorsey or Mark Zuckerberg.
Was that the Reed Coverdale guy's, like, an only platform he's on slash, like, way he's making his money? Because,
well, if he's only got 20,000 followers, he's probably not making a lot of money through it.
I think he's on Facebook as well, but I was looking to, like, try to find an email address for him because I wanted to invite him on LRN as one of the podcasts, but couldn't find an email for him. The only way,
fortunate.
Yeah, I was like, the only way I could possibly reach him would have been to send him a message on Twitter. That's not an option. Again, another reason to not rely on these big tech platforms. So anyway, more coming up here. Arya, you want to talk about Alec Baldwin. Apparently, he shot somebody.
He shot two people.
Apparently an accident. We'll talk about it.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
This is an important message. Do you have an IRA, 401k, or retirement account worth more than $100,000? Your portfolio may qualify for an IRS tax loophole that allows you to own physical, precious metals inside of your retirement account. Want our free report that shows you how? We are WealthProtectionResearch.com, and we help investors connect with the top precious metal companies in America to own physical gold and silver inside their retirement account using this little-known but very powerful IRS loophole. To claim your free IRS loophole report today, just text the word GOLD to 48542. WealthProtectionResearch.com wants to get this information in your hands now so that you can protect your hard-earned investments. Text GOLD to 48542 to learn more. When you text the word GOLD to 48542, we'll send you a secure link to download our IRS loophole report to show you how to start protecting your wealth with precious metals. Don't wait. Text the word GOLD to 48542 now. Wealth Protection Research. Text GOLD to 48542.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you, too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com. Or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
With protection for your motorcycle, boat, and RV, your Progressive policy works the way it's supposed to. Unlike this indecisive sports talk host.
All right, welcome to the Big Shark Show.
Hey, Big Shark, any predictions for the game tonight?
Well, if you ask me, they are definitely going to win big, but I also think there's a chance they don't win. It's just my gut that they will. Or they won't, but I do have a hunch that whatever happens, we will definitely know when it does.
Wait, so...
Either way, they always seem to come up with a big play, or sometimes just a smaller one.
Switch to Progressive today.
Bottom line, they're going to win. Or lose.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. Open phones here if you want to join in. The number 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Joining you in the studio tonight is Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And Aria. You can bring up anything that you want. And we did mention just a moment ago the Free Talk Live social. I'll give you the address again here. It's social.freetalklive.com. We've got several hundred folks that have registered for accounts on there. But I was actually just looking today at some of the statistics because we're going to be doing some web changes. Unfortunately, our web guru, systems admin, Michael Hampton, passed away a few weeks ago at this point. And we've been digging out because he's got a huge set of shoes to fill, and it's no easy thing to pick up the ball from Michael. He was a great guy. And so we're going to have some downtime, I think, coming up on some of our servers on Wednesday in the overnight. So like Tuesday night, early Wednesday morning.
Okay.
Look for some downtime there. But so we were just kind of like checking out some of the servers and, seeing how big they are, how much space they take up and things like that. We got over 400 users over on the Mastodon, but only a couple dozen are really active. So, maybe some folks haven't come back. Come on back. Check it out over at social.freetalklive.com. The people that are there are definitely participating. We've got more, I think, action now than previously. Maybe you haven't been in several months. You might want to come back and take a look at social.freetalklive.com. So, Aria, you've been wanting to talk about Alec Baldwin. Now, this guy is basically a leftist. He's like a hard left actor. He's very outspoken, in favor of whatever socialism or communism or whatever brand of ism that he's all about. But he's definitely opinionated, and he's been very anti-gun, I believe, in some of his opinions in the past. And now
that's
all
correct.
Of a sudden, he's got a dead body on his hands.
Yeah, it's difficult to summarize the entire thing, and it's not fair to say that I've been wanting about it. I've been sort of aware that he had shot someone, but I didn't pay any attention to it last night when an article happened to cross my field of vision.
He shot a cinematographer to death, I believe.
Yes, a camera person, I believe.
Well, the cinematographer is the person who decides the shots.
Okay.
And
It was the actual person holding the camera.
In a small production, it probably is that person. In a larger production, they probably have people. to hold the cameras?
He actually shot two people, but only one of them died.
Oh, okay. That was
That's amazing. Hard to do. Like, did he pull the trigger more than once?
No, just one bullet.
Wow.
So, yeah.
It was a real bullet? Because I heard it was a fake gun.
No, it was a real gun and a real bullet. And I understand that, you know, real guns are commonly used on sets because they're generally cheaper than fake guns and things like that. That's his own issue.
But they usually put blanks in these guns, right?
Why put anything
in
them?
Yeah, why put anything?
You can add all of this in special effects. Yes.
Yeah.
So there was never any reason to use a blank in the first place, and there's never, ever a reason that a live round should have been anywhere near this set.
Yeah, I remember years ago, do you remember The Crow?
Yes.
That movie, and somebody got killed on the set of the, like, the star.
The actor.
Brandon Lee, I think was his name or something.
Yeah,
like
Bruce
that?
Lee's son or something.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, he got killed in a sort of a similar circumstance.
It was almost exactly the same.
There was a blank, quote-unquote, or a gun that was supposed to be firing blanks that I guess somebody put a real bullet in, and then he died as a result. But that was like in the late 90s, so it's been a couple decades. There aren't too many people that die on movie sets due to mishandled firearms, but this is one of them, and this one's pretty big.
It is, so... Go ahead.
It almost sounds like he was, like, set up, because who put a real bullet in it? Was he supposed to shoot directly at somebody in the scene? And I guess I should let you read the
story. I haven't read a whole lot about it, but I did read that he was allegedly pointing at the camera at the time. He was apparently practicing for a shot wherein he would then pull a gun, I presume, and point it at the camera.
Yes, he was practicing removing a revolver from its holder and aiming toward the camera during rehearsal for the movie. And that was when what sounded like a whip and then a loud pop. In the newly released document obtained by the Los Angeles Times on Sunday night, Sousa said the weapon had been described to him as a cold gun, meaning that it didn't have any ammunition in it. And this is where I immediately disagree with the vast majority of libertarians who are weighing in on this, saying, well, he broke the number one rule. He should have checked to see whether or not the gun was, you know, loaded or actually cold. This is a Hollywood actor.
That's right.
He wouldn't know how to check to see if the gun was loaded.
Yeah, he has, you know, as even though he's been probably held, you know, holding guns in multiple movies and TV shows in his long career. I mean, this guy's been acting for decades, right? So this wasn't the first time he had a gun in his hand. I mean, I don't deny that somebody who is a responsible person should say, hey, maybe I should learn a thing or two about these things that could possibly kill someone, and then go through the process of checking it, double-checking it, to make sure it is actually safe. That would be the sensible solution. But this guy is used to being handled. He's used to having a gun weapons expert, right? They've got a handler.
And they had some of those on set.
Right. So they've got a handler who's on set, whose job it is to make sure the weapon is safe for being used in this, you know, motion picture or whatever it is that he was doing. So this guy's probably used to just being handed a gun and told to point it somewhere. He just does what he's told. He has no thought.
And on top of that, he was, like, completely told that it was cold. Like,
he probably was.
Recently, I went to a gun store with one of our friends, and they made me hold a gun. You know, they didn't make me, but they're like, Bonnie, come hold this gun. And I was like, can I pull the trigger? Is it, it's fine? You know, and then I pulled the trigger. If would I be at fault for killing someone? I don't know.
Yes, you. I think that you would be. If you pointed that gun at somebody and you pulled the trigger.
I shot at the ground, but, you know, it was empty. But, you know, if everybody, you know, the gun shop guy was like, yeah, it doesn't have a bullet in it. You can pull the trigger at the ground. I shot it and shrapnel killed somebody. Like, would that really be my fault? I don't know how to check a gun. I guess I'm an idiot.
I don't know legally whether it would be your fault or not. And just because you don't know doesn't make you an idiot. It just means that you are inexperienced. And
the first thing someone should have done before they handed you that gun was show you how to check to make sure there wasn't a live chamber in it, I would argue.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I'm not going to say that this guy should be off the hook because of, you know, he didn't know better, necessarily. I also don't think he should necessarily face any criminal charges, but as far as his personal feeling of responsibility, it is absolutely his responsibility to know whether a gun is loaded or not. You can't just take somebody's word for it, obviously. You can't take somebody's word for this.
I think he should have been able to. The issue was that he wasn't paying people enough for this. No, like, if he was playing a tech person and someone handed him a computer and to do a movie with, a prop computer, said, mm-hmm. don't worry, this thing isn't live streaming you while you do nasty things mm-hmm. or whatever, I wouldn't expect him to have the knowledge to be able to verify that. That's what he hires people for. So if something happened as a result of him using that computer, I really don't think he would be personally responsible for it as much as the handler would have been. Mm. That said, Alec Baldwin did point the trigger and did point the gun at someone, pull the trigger, and kill someone.
Yeah.
He is responsible for doing that, but the way I see it, his responsibility comes in not as the person who pulled the trigger, but in who created the circumstances that were so unsafe, because they had, I think, three other live rounds fired on this set before this had even happened.
What?
Yes.
On accident?
That's part of the reason I want to talk about this. This was not a one-time thing. This happened multiple times on this one movie set.
That's insane.
While he's the producer or director or whatever, I don't remember exactly what role he was the one in charge of making sure people were getting paid to make this stuff safe.
Oh, really?
Yes. So
in theory, he hired the gunsmith or whoever it was at the...
I think they call them armorers.
Armorer,
but yes.
Yeah.
And that's why crazy. He's responsible, because he was the one who failed to hire people who were good enough and competent enough.
Or failed to fire, because look, if you... mistakes can be made. I get that, right?
Yeah.
One misfire on a set, like, okay, it's time to talk to the armorer and find out, you know, what the hell happened. Sit down, go through the process. Why are there even, you know, you brought live ammunition onto this movie set? No, that's not, you know, leave that home, okay? We don't need that here. And if it were to happen a second time, which is insane, that person should have been fired on the spot.
So, you would think so.
Are you sure that the other times that this happened were all accidents? It wasn't like,
There's never a reason.
Well, it could be like we're doing a scene where we shoot into this. We've made sure this
is safe. To use real real ammo. Maybe.
I'm trying to find the details now where it describes the other shootings. But, yes, they were accidental. It was not intentional. It was someone, you know, thought they were shooting a blank mm-hmm. or thought they were just pulling a trigger on a cold gun and a live round was in it.
What? Also, to some extent, the armorer, I think, deserves some responsibility for not teaching people about guns. I mean, I understand that these actors are probably just used to being handed a gun and told, okay, you can pull the trigger and then it goes bang. But that's irresponsible on the part of the armorer. The armorer, if they're actually somebody who cares about weapons, should be teaching the basics of gun handling to every single person on the set that is going to be handling a gun. And the number one rule is you never point a gun at somebody, even if you think it's unloaded. Ever.
Well, for the movie, they kind of have to.
In a movie, if you have to, you better double or triple check that thing to make sure that it isn't actually loaded before you do something like that. And so that is, I think, the responsibility of the professional to teach.
What better gift to give your loved ones than the gift of good health? And where better to buy those good health gifts than sunny-bay.com? Hey, it's great that you're hearing this message now, because buying your holiday gifts from Sunny Bay early will save you money. And that's just one reason why Sunny Bay is in business and has been for over 15 years, helping you with fashionable and useful products for better health. See our unique and quality-made travel pillows, or our unique neck and body wraps that help immediate pain relief and deep muscle relaxation. Come at a wide variety of uses, apply hot or cold therapy, and are all made in the USA. See our great selection, affordable prices, and wonderful health products at sunny-bay.com. And remember, order early when our stock is high and shipping is fast. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay. For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months, and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.